So tonight, Shir, despite what it says on the email, we're going to go back for at least a few more minutes to talk a little bit more about abortion. Not a lot, but just a little bit more, which will really lead us into our next sugya, which will really be discussing the intro to end-of-life issues and how the Torah views end-of-life. We'll talk about all those types of shows. But just to go back for a second, I want to talk about, we were discussing abortion a lot the last couple of weeks, and we basically set it up as a machlokes achronim in between Rav Moshe and the Tzitzit Eliezer. According to Rav Moshe, kamat, no abortions are mutter unless the mother's life is in direct danger. According to Tzitzit Eliezer, there's perhaps more leniencies if it's going to be based on Rabbi Yaakov Emden's comment and its tshuva. If there's going to be a lot of pain and anguish for the parents, perhaps there's room to be lenient. What I want to discuss tonight are some shilas that appear in Achronim, and what we think the answer should be, and what we think Rav Moshe would say to it, and what we think the Tzitzit Eliezer would say to it, and then ultimately discuss the famous tshuva from the Tzitzit Eliezer, where he discusses directly the issue of Down syndrome and abortion. So the first shaila is in the Nishmas Avram. You know, I was embarrassed to say, but then I was listening to a shiur from Rav Shechter, and he said it, so I could say it also, that much of this information is found in Nishmas Avram. The Nishmas Avram did an unbelievable job on all these things. He gives you basically all the Ma'amar Mekayim. Rav Shechter gave a shiur once, and he said, I'll tell you where I got my stuff from. I got it from the Nishmas Avram. So I also got it from the Nishmas Avram. So that's where I got a lot of it. Not everything. You got to do some other work as well. That's why they pay me the big bucks. But nonetheless, a lot of it comes from the Nishmas Avram. So Nishmas Avram has a shiur of the following. He wants to talk about a baby that has what's known as encephaly. What is that? That's a baby born with an unformed complete brain or head. According to the statistics, it's an interesting thing. 3 out of every 10,000 babies in the U.S. are born with this problem. There is no cure or treatment for such a problem, which comes out to be about a little over 1,200 babies a year are born in America with this problem. Almost all babies die before delivery or will not live too many days. If you Google, and you'll see there are stories of babies that have lived 1 year, 2 years. It's chiddush of a chiddush for a baby to live without a fully formed head and brain. It's a chiddush that a baby can live. But most of them, the babies do not live past 2 days. If you're lucky, 3 days, it's an ace. There's no cure. There's nothing they can do for it. So the question is, if a doctor does a test and they see that the baby has this, can they abort the baby? So before we even see what the answer is, we should know the answer from our own. According to Rav Moshe, absolutely not. There's no danger to the mother.
But if it's never going to live, she never said that.
Right. So over here, there's a different issue. Over here, well, again, that's not true. The Tay-Sachs baby are the same things.
No, but Tay-Sachs, we said, could they end up living 4 or 5 years old?
3 or 4, but Tay-Sachs baby live a little longer.
A couple days.
I hear it's only a few days. Yeah, so according to this, obviously, that would be a lot of aggression to give birth to a baby that's going to not survive. So over here, he quotes from Reb Zobelstein. Reb Zobelstein was the famed son-in-law of Reb Eliashiv. So he quotes over here the Pesach from Reb Zobelstein.
He is, but his
father was not alive anymore. Yeah, no. So Reb Zobelstein ruled on this Shiloh. So he writes this, number one, Nishmas Avram. He says, it's missing part of its brain and part of its head. So he says like this, Ain the Uber Kazes Siko Lechius. There is no chance of this baby living. Vashaili he mutal of Atsa Hapala is allowed to perform an abortion. Ktailum Noya Meisha Sevel Navshi Vichash de Kon. So just go through the anguish and the heartbreak of having a baby like that. It's so depressing. It's so hard. Would you be able to permit the abortion? So again, so he quotes it from Reb Zilberstein. Shlita, Reb Zilberstein gave this in his shir, where Reb Zilberstein continues to do this. He gives shiurim to doctors. They're called shiurei Torah L'Reifim. I have a couple of them on one of these booklets. So I know doctors who go to them, and it's so fascinating. He speaks about very practical things that doctors need to know. So in one of his shiurim, he addressed his shayla. They asked him. So we're going to talk again today. This is one of the issues I always think from a halachic standpoint is the husband needs to have consent. And I mentioned it that Rav Gedalia Felder writes it, and we'll see that the Tzitzit Eliezer writes it as well. But 100%. One cannot perform an abortion without consent of the father. 100%. This is all assumed. Yeah. Right. And Achram, even we'll see the Tzitzit Eliezer himself in another tshuva where he talks about Down syndrome. He says Mefurish. This only works if the husband agrees. If the husband says no, I absolutely give you no permission to abort my baby. You cannot abort the baby. That is against the pro-lifers today. Pro-lifers don't have an opinion about the father, but according to Halach, as we started off with.
What I'm saying, but the anguish itself, the aspect of itself.
That's enough to permit the isser.
No, I'm saying if the woman, for example, the role reversal, if you want to call it. Right. The woman is very strong. Said, you know, I don't have any.
Right.
But the man has anger.
Seems like that wouldn't be enough. That sounds like from everyone that wouldn't be enough because he's not carrying the baby and it's not. Sounds like it wouldn't be. Right. The reverse case is let's say the lady says, I can't go through. He says, no. Right. It's my property. So that would be a Chosha Mishpah question. So Zilberstein answered an interesting psak. He said that it's mutter. If a baby Nebuch is born with this issue, it's permitted to perform the abortion. Why? So he based it on a Gemara Nida. He says over here, it says atuma. If someone has a miscarriage and the lady miscarries a baby that has a head that's atuma, so what does it mean a baby that's head is atuma? So Rashi learns it means chaseira. Mamash, this case, the baby's missing part of its head. So the halacha is ima tahira. The mother doesn't carry the tumas yeledes. There's a whole din of tumas yeledes. Whenever a lady gives birth to a baby, even if the baby's not living, but if the baby is after 40 days or whatever, so then there's tumas leida. So the Gemara says, this baby has no tumas leida. So zogtib zilbashtay mechain pasakai rambam, mechal sarebi, perakir al-kharaf. Nivra vishat shaloi atum. The baby's born and it's shat shaloi atum. Aishaisik galois atuma. Kalnofa me'ilu, ain't vlad. This nafel is not considered a vlad. That's not considered a viable nafel. And that's why there's no tumas leida. Ubehilchus bikurim. Let's say someone comes after a nafel, the baby born after a nafel. Kol nafel she'ima tmei leida abu acharav. Right, very often you'll hear of cases where they'll have a baby and you'll say, hey, why is there no pidyon haben? So often there was a miscarriage before. If the miscarriage was at a certain point in the pregnancy, that's already enough to be considered that there's no longer pidyon haben. So the Rambam says, if the mother is tamei leida from this miscarriage, so then the second baby is not going to be a pidyon haben. But if the mother is not tamei leida, that means the first baby wasn't considered a baby, so then there would be tumas leida. So here we're saying tumas leida is going to connect normally just regard to tumah vatara and a carbon. But here we're using it to say that's going to impact whether or not there's din pidyon haben. Whenever there's no tumas leida, so that's not considered a pregnancy. Therefore, there's no tumas leida, and therefore the next baby would be considered the bechor. That's the way the Rambam paskes.
She could live with her husband again later without
finding mitzvah? No. There's still tumas nida. There's tumas leida, versus you still have nida, right? Right. You still have tumas nida.
So also, like Rav Zilbish from the other poskim, when they're presented with this and said, a test showed. Are we assuming these tests are accurate?
So that's what we're going to get to in a second. That's what we're going to see. Rav Moshe writes a lot about this. We'll see from today, we're going to quote from a new opinion from the Achrenim, from the Heichel Eirah, from Rav Moshe Brandsdorfer. He's today in the Heichel, he's in the Eidach HaRedis in Eretz Yisrael. We'll see how far are we going to trust doctors? You know, at the end of the day, doctors are doctors, test are tests. But, you know, to abort a baby because of a medical test is that we're assuming that we take the medical information seriously. That's the assumption. So it says, Zilberstein, Gevaldik, in Kain, Mistavish, Eina Bechal Nefesh. If the halach is a baby born without a full head is not considered of a nafel, and that's why there's no tumas leida, and that's why the baby that's born after it would be considered a bechor. So it's not a person, it's not even a nafel. Says Reb Zilberstein, Vein Israel, Arigose, Machav, Vein Mesugal, Lachayos, Vein Chayav, Chayav. It's considered nothing. Even though every uber is only a potential life, this is even less than that, says Reb Zilberstein. Venirish, Afil, Keshachos, Rachelik, Malkogoth, only missing a part of the brain. Dina, Kechos, Kule, Ayin, Begemar, Sham, Vekosav, Kenach, Hacham, Tzvi. So this is halachah l'maaseh. According to Zilberstein, a baby that's born or that's tested to have this type of problem, Zilberstein held it's mutter al pidin to perform an abortion. The pro-lifers disagree. I read an article from a pro-lifer today. They said absolutely not. This baby is a baby like any other baby. Absolutely no heter to perform an abortion. But according to Zilberstein, this will be considered mutter. So this is a chiddush. This would be a case where, at least according to most achrayim, it would be permitted to perform an abortion based on the Gemara Nida. Now the safe, yeah.
Is that Dr. Abraham?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That's right. So in the Sefer Heichel Eirah from Rav Moshe Brandsdorfer, he was the son of Rav Meir Brandsdorfer, who we'll get to tonight also. So he today is one of the Rabbanim on the Eidach HaRedis. So he disagrees with this Pesach from Zilberstein. He was asked the following Shalom number 2. Mashin ishalti ma'avrech echot. I was asked from an avrech. She'ishtemu beres b'chei shechemish. His wife was in the 5th month. Ha'pi eitzes harei for us to see keres ma'arachos. That's always a discussion we spoke about last week. Should you bother getting tested? Because now that you test, now you know what's cooking. Maybe don't get tested and you don't know and, you know, whatever. Tamim tiyem Hashem alekech. We mentioned that Rav Moshe Paskin, at least with regard to Tay-Sex, Rav Moshe thought you should get tested for Tay-Sex. But all the other things, it's questionable whether or not you should bother going for the test. Again,
what
if you're not...
Keres ma'arachos, is that an end?
No. Yeah, these are types of testing. Now, according to Moshe, there's no reason to get these testing done because you're not going to board anyways. According to Tzitzel, there might be what to discuss. So he writes like this: Lufi daitoi, and the doctor came back and they found out. It's missing a part of its brain. Sounds like the same issue of the Reb Zilberstein. So he writes over here, and ulfi daite lo yuchal ha'uba l'chayis yoyesim ekamishayis. A baby cannot live more than a few hours. Achri aleid. Okay, and humatzi l'hapil achshav ha'zuber. They want to perform an abortion. Seems like a very logical conclusion. So again, we saw, according to Reb Zilberstein, no problem. Perform the abortion. Reb Zilberstein says it's okay. Ubalishol and the Shmuel of Rav, should listen to the doctor. The Heresi law says with Moshe Brandsdorfer, and I answered, Shedov is a Osir, Betachlus, a Isra, Misha Osir, Kay Nidin Keretzech. Osir Gomer. Disagrees Adam and Zobelstein, nothing to talk about, it's Osir Gomer. Now, what's his Svar? And his Svar is somewhat compelling. His Svar is that you go back to the Mishnah and Oilus that we started out with 4 weeks ago. Mishnah and Oilus says the only time you're allowed to kill an Ober is if the Ober is a Sakana to the mother. This is not a Sakana to the mother. Either be anguish and Agmas Nefesh, so what? Zobelstein's come from a different angle. He's saying this is B'chalal, not an Eifa. The argument is that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says no Tumas Leida. That's a Tumas Leida Shaila. That doesn't mean it doesn't count as a person. So therefore, say, again, let's say this baby would be born. This baby without a full head, it will die in 3 hours. Let's say someone would come right now and kill it. Would they be chayiv? So we'll see, that's a big discussion. Someone kills a treifa, so the Rambam Paschal is still chayiv misa de shemayim. So if you chayiv misa de shemayim, so you can't go around killing things. So therefore, Tainid Ramosha Brandsdorfer, he thinks that would be also to perform such an abortion. So he quotes, let's talk about another shayla. Let's talk about a shayla from his father, Rev Meir Brandsdorfer, number 3 in the Sefer Kenei Baisim. He was asked the following shayla, 1972. Nishalti adover isha muberi she choyle rachman latzam mechalos tzuker v'lachatz dam. She has diabetes or she has high blood pressure. She'amru kamaroifim mumchem she'uber misakin oisei. Pregnancy is dangerous for those ailments. I'm not exactly sure. Today, again, 1972 is very different than 2019. I would assume today much of that can be managed with medication. But back then, I guess it wasn't. So the question was, can they perform an abortion? Should we listen to the doctors or should we ignore the doctors? Now again, this is very different than the Shiloh before. The Shiloh before...
What do you mean? What did the doctor say? Just because she has diabetes or...
So they're saying that the experts are saying that this is going to create a sakana for the mother. That's going to be again. So here, at least, there's a direct connection to the mother's health, to the baby, to the pregnancy. The first shot that we talked about, the mother is fine. It would just be either agmas nefesh or just that the baby is not halachically a baby. So he passed. Now he yitz medivereinu and you need and they done. Kevin dolfi umdan harayfim he misukenes machmas ober evshalis machmas al teres chesed v'adnei tzedek v'avushim modchai the sviluhu the gamichei gather the ain't sakana bebirur achshav even though now we don't see. In front of us, clear and present danger. We could still consider the baby a roidif. It's more dangerous to carry it than to do the abortion. Now again, abortions are also dangerous. Ramosha and others discuss this. Everyone's so quick to abort because of the mother. But the mapolis uber itself is a dangerous procedure. It's a medical procedure that has its own complications and dangers. So the Tzitzel Yezer made this very clear last, we spoke about it last week, that even when it's mutter to do an abortion, you have to make sure with guarantee that the mother's life is not at any risk by doing this procedure, because then it defeats the purpose.
So, the suffix good nefesh,
That's hard to believe that these things would cause a direct,
It could be the higher.
It's not clear, right? It's not clear from the Shiloh what we're talking about. So that's why I thought it was interesting. He writes, and list the way he ends off. He says, "When we come back, Rotzisi Lahiris Midas Asmi B'Davin Egele Dinir Foshes." I don't want to pass on my own, even though he was quite a big poysik in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, "V'tzaati Inyan Al Mol Pnei Marenu Agayin Agodol Reb Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss." So he said, "I passed the Shiloh like all the Rabbanim. He punted the Shiloh on. He punted it to the Menachas Yitzchak. Menachas Yitzchak had big shoulders, and Menachas Yitzchak passed like him. Lahatir Lahapil Uber Mimenu Machmas Akonase. That was okay. So that we can all understand. Again, today I don't know how relevant that's going to be, unless it's an extreme case and the medication doesn't work, but usually today a lot of things can be treated with medication. So therefore, that he did permit. Now listen to this Shiloh, which is also interesting, which again I think we can paskin on our own based on what we learned in the past. Following Shiloh number 4 from the Sefer Veshov Yerape. I don't know who wrote it, but an interesting Shiloh. Isha in Tismunas Daon. Anyone know what that is?
Nope.
I didn't either know. That's why we have Google. It's Down syndrome. That's so it's one of the words for using. That's one of them. There's another word. We'll see. There's another word that the Achrayim use also. So he has to use a different term. So a girl had Down syndrome. Nensa bimosa vinasa abra. A terrible story. Girl with Down syndrome got raped. And now she's pregnant. So question number 1 is pegam mishpacha. That's those catchphrases we saw already was Rabbi Yaakov Emden's, and the Ben Ish Chai talked about Pigam Mishpacha. That was really the Ben Ish Chai said those words. Those words weren't Rabbi Yaakov Emden, but the Ben Ish Chai had those words. Pigam Mishum Shiyazik Libriyasa. Again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know if there's a direct connection between a Down syndrome pregnancy, or again, a woman who has Down syndrome to be able to carry a baby, and that somehow impacts her health. I'm not aware of it, but apparently that was one of the shilas. Okay, so what would we pass into that? Simply speaking, there's no direct danger to the mother's life. So Pagam Mishpacha, who permitted Pagam Mishpacha, not Rav Moshe Feinstein? What type of heter is that? Because someone's going to be embarrassed, therefore you're allowed to be over Vitzicha? So the Tzitz Eliezer might tell you, yeah, that's it's a different type of Pagam Mishpacha. Again, the Tzitz Eliezer was talking about permitting an abortion because of the anguish that you're going through. You're going through the horrific anguish of what? Having a baby, and then the baby's going to die in a few hours, in a few days, in a few years. That's Tzitzex. That's heavy stuff. Pagam Mishpacha, we saw that came from the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai was talking about a case where a lady was mezaneh, and she's carrying a baby that was conceived under znus. That's Pagam Mishpacha. This is Pagam Mishpacha because Nebuch, this girl who, again, got raped, that's Pagam Mishpacha. I think one could debate that. So listen to what this fellow writes in the Sefer. He says, Ula kolzelo inegel nidenu, de'enel pagamu b'zoyle mishpacha v'loy le'en. Comes up with a real, real chilak. Who's Pagam Mishpacha for? The mother or the parents and the bubbies and the zaydis and the brothers and the sisters? He says Pagam Mishpacha is only when it's for the mother. But he says over here the mother is Down syndrome. She doesn't even understand these things. He says, Dehi loy bas boishes. She's not even margishes. She doesn't even know what it means. V'sha'alti roifim deharoin loy havim chasakan. He says, I asked doctors. They said it's not dangerous. Af pidi yazik libriyosa. It's not, it might take a toll, but it's not dangerous. V'yesh sikra davlad yebroi. And it's very possible the vlad can be a regular baby. Af al pidi gam kinef shiyotzi im tesmunas adon. Maybe the baby will also have Down syndrome. I don't know if there is enough medical proof. You don't very often hear of people with Down syndrome having babies. But the question is it genetic that would lead to another baby, which itself wouldn't be a head to perform an abortion? Mm-hmm. I see absolutely no permissibility. Again, we mentioned already that always the Jewish doctor is easier. He says not only a Jewish doctor, Koshkin, a Jewish doctor. This sounds very compelling to me. Put the baby up for abortion. Put the baby up for adoption. Obviously, yeah. Obviously, this girl can't raise a baby. That's fine. But that's not a reason to abort the baby. Put the baby up for adoption. Yeah. So this, I happen to agree with this, Psak.
What was the reason why we said it's always better either a woman or a Jewish doctor?
Because a Jewish doctor doesn't have an Isser Ritzicha with the punishment of Misa B'dei Shemayim. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, for a guy to perform an abortion would be Misa, would be Ritzicha with the punishment of Misa. It's much more awesome for him. So I think I agree with this. I would probably pass in the same way unless the doctor says, no, it would really be a harm on the mother to have to carry I'm not familiar, but I thought this was a very, very interesting shayla. Again, this wasn't made up, this was real. This shayla happens, sadly enough. So if you look over here and back to the Heichal Heirot, it got cut off on the side, I apologize, but here he goes to you with the Shtickel Rebbe Shemaisis. He says, Oydi safti loymar, shedivir harayfi eina mukhrachim. He said, let's not be overly taken. This is 4B on the left corner. Right? This whole shayla is based on medical information. No one knows until the baby comes out what the baby status is. So we're basically going to abort a baby based on what a doctor's test comes up with. Now again, today medicine is pretty good and pretty accurate, and what else are we supposed to work with? So he says, I'm not so impressed with the doctor. Now, the reason why I'm quoting him is because he didn't live, 200 years ago. He lives today. He lives in Eretz Yisrael, on the Eidah Charedis. So he says, I'm not so impressed with the doctor reports. I already told people, don't listen to the doctor's reports. And I told them, he said, I told this couple that came to me with the shayla about the babies. I'll tell you another story. I once had many couples come to me. Couples married many years, and they don't have any children. And when they finally was able to have a baby and they have a pregnancy, in the middle of the seventh month, baby's got a hole in his heart. They're not allowing her to give birth to such a baby. It's such an agma savish to deliver a baby that's going to die. It's better to have the miscarriage, better to abort. They came to hear my opinion. They waited so long for this baby, and this is what, it's going to just only cause agma nefesh. Don't listen to the doctors. You're not allowed to perform an abortion. That's what Rav Moshe would say. Someone came to Moshe and said that's what Tay-Sex is, and Moshe wrote openly and clearly in his truth was without debate that there is no heter. Either parents will go through tzar. Okay, they'll go through tzar. That's we'll try to deal with it as best as we can, but that's not a heter for abortion. I gave him the chizik. I told him, if you can push yourself and don't fall for the abortion, I said, Havtoch, the baby will be okay. They had a healthy baby. Again, this is one in a million story. Most of the times the doctor's tests are accurate, and they are not necessarily the information the parents want to hear. I'm giving this to the same couple who asked me about the baby who has anisophilus, if I pronounced it correctly. You should don't do it, and in Mitzvah Hashem, everything should work out well. It doesn't tell you the end of the story if anything did work out well. I don't know, but that was his opinion. So he's very clear. He sees no permit, but Ramayis himself stands matrit. I don't know anyone else that weighs in on the Shaila, except I don't know what Ramayis would say to this. It's not clear. Maybe Ramayis would say that this is considered a trefa, but in the Tshuva, Ramayis didn't seem to buy too much into this such a svar. Then he talks about another Shaila, another interesting Shaila from Rev Moshe Brandsdorfer. Number 5, Nishalti. They have mental problems. They're taking medication, psychiatric medication. Now, he doesn't tell us to what extent. There's a lot on the gamut that could be included in that. Right? There are a lot of people that should be on medicine that are not. There are a lot of people that are on that shouldn't be. We don't know exactly to what extent. You know, there are people today that have slight mental issues and they're able to have marriages and they're able to have families and they're able to manage with a lot of help and support. They could do it. I don't know who exactly he's talking about. But what happened was, until they get, you know, a better handle on their mental situation, it's not safe for them to have a baby. So doctor says you should go on birth control. She asked a certain shayla. That's not hard to imagine that we would do. The rabbi said, listen to the doctor. One time she forgot to take her medication before she went to the mikvah. And then she got pregnant. She's in the beginning of the pregnancy. Shayla was, can she perform an abortion? I don't know. What would I answer to such a shayla? I would say it depends on their situation. I have no idea what this girl's mental situation is. Obviously, if she's taka incapable, if she's not capable of managing a child, then again, put it up for adoption. Well, what's the reason to abort? I don't understand the reason to abort the baby. Well, the baby doesn't have to die. Put the baby up for an adoption afterwards. That seems to be logical. There seems to be no connection between her life is not in danger. Unless she has psychological issues that maybe when she gets pregnant, who knows what's going to happen and she might hurt herself or hurt others. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I don't know, it's hard to know. But to me, it would seem like a hard head. So he writes in number 7, he paskins. He says, absolutely, there's no reason to be mad to this baby. Number 6, I'm sorry. Still on page 1. He takes a very extreme. He holds, even within 40 days, there's no head to abort. Even though we mentioned that Shlomo Zalman was a little bit nachas to believe that within 40 days, perhaps you could abort. He says, poshet. Why? Because that's me, mom's life is in danger. Now, obviously, Rav Moshe would agree to this. I'm not even so sure that Sicily Ezer wouldn't agree to this. What's that to do with abort over here? I don't see a very compelling argument to why it would be necessary. And then he follows like his father and he says, I wasn't so sure, so I asked someone else. He says, Shuv she'elti as I asked the Minchas Yitzchak, just like my father did. And he told me, okay, that seems to be very much in line with what we've learned so far. Now we come to the very famous and very controversial tshuva of the Tzitzel Yezer, and I think this will be the conclusion of the sugya of abortion. The shayla to the Tzitzel Yezer was the following, number 8. Oidos bedikas me hashapir, that is the, what's it called? It's the other one. Basically, they do a test. They legalize mikreshel mungdalusam. That's another word for Down syndrome. Down syndrome. That's Down syndrome. Eitzel ober ubehefsek haroyim bimekarmenal. So the person who wrote the shayla to Tzitzel Yezer was one of the heads of Shari Tzedek Hospital, and he asked the Tzitzel Yezer, should we test for it? Should we test for Down syndrome? And B, if we do test and we find that the baby has, can we permit an abortion? So the fellow who sent the shaila, I think his name was Mayor something. He was a knowledgeable fellow. He knew the Tzitz HaLezer, and he writes to the Tzitz HaLezer, and his shaila, he says, I'm well aware of what you wrote about Tay-Sachs, but I'm also well aware that Tay-Sachs is very different than Down syndrome. And he writes like this, Dumani. The reason why it's permitted to abort a Tay-Sachs baby is because of the emotional stress that goes on the mother. And that's why the Tzitz HaLezer wrote that you can do an abortion even up to the seventh month. But Tay-Sachs has shefa kosher zuberu pshuta. That's not disputed, that the anguish and the emotional element of a Tay-Sachs baby is very strong. Meidach, al avshe Down syndrome, tisach in hashefa, shalila kazois, mocheresli mishpachas hamigdelis ba'ava rabbis yildeim, apoigim b'mangdaluzam. He says, I know wonderful families that raise children with Down syndrome and everything is fine. So basically what he's saying is there's a big difference between a Tay-Sachs baby and a Down syndrome baby. So the shoyl knew this. So he sends the shout to the Tzitz HaLezer. He says, I'm well aware of what you wrote by Tay-Sachs, and I'm also well aware there is a very big difference between a Tay-Sachs baby and a Down syndrome baby. I would add, this shout was written in the 70s. I would add, Kol Shekim Bizmanenu, where, Baruch Hashem, we've made unbelievable advancements in what we do with the special needs world. I would think there's even bigger difference between the two. So what does the Tzitz HaLezer answer for the $1 million? What does he answer? He says, Alkei, Nira, Paskin Tzitz HaLezer, the aim the Kvoya Bezer, Hayros Het Kloli, I cannot give an across-the-board psak. For Tay-Sachs, no question. According to the Tzitz HaLezer, any baby that has Tay-Sachs, right away abortion, he's very comfortable, he's willing to argue under Rav Moshe, he wrote tshuvas against Rav Moshe, he's very comfortable. But he says, I'm not so comfortable to write that about Down syndrome. When the results come back, they have to send the lady to Tzarech HaRoif L'Shleich as Isha, El Rav Moira Hayra, got to send the lady right to a rabbi in the sinas nesunim al tzitzos medika with the results. V'harav moira hiro yischake heitav al matzav hanefashi shel hazug hazivug b'kesh al kach. He'll speak to the couple, see how they're doing. V'yachlid b'shikulav al chesim imahata avsokas aron. He then will decide if he feels that this couple can handle it or this couple cannot handle it. V'rakim kabolas heter chocho musmach tiyus anolas b'esachor levavotze zois bein kosal. If the rabbi says yes, then the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital is allowed to be involved in such an abortion. So Tzitz HaLezer seems to be much more calm or tamer with regard to this, but he at least is open to the possibilities. Rav Moshe would scream. If Rav Moshe would read this, he'd be livid. Perform an abortion on a dance, for what? For absolutely no reason. Again, I would assume that the Rav Moshe Brandsdorfer would be in line with that as well. And I think Rav Shlomo Zalman also would be adamant against this. Yeah, he's a regular person. He can live a very, very productive and very useful. And either the fact that the parents can't. So first argument one can make today is, Baruch Hashem, there are much better. Again, adoption is still a viable option. You can adopt the baby.
You can adopt a Down syndrome baby.
People will do it. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, there's wonderful people today. Right, but again, he's not even arguing that.
Really?
He's not even arguing that. Right. The Tzitz HaLezer is arguing it from a standpoint of the Tzar. I think it's, again, I mentioned this many times, I know a fellow who went to argue this, that today we've evolved even more so, that to say that the Heter if a couple can't handle it, so then they should perhaps go through the pregnancy and then give it up for adoption or give it to one of the organizations. But this is the Tzitz HaLezer. These are his words. He doesn't exactly give a blanket heter. He says each case needs to be dealt with carefully. And then he goes on to say two more things that are relevant to our sugya, and this will really be the end of the sugya. He writes, I'm not going to deny that this is important to say. Kim ye biyodi harifa yichelas losses of name moira sara yudua, shethav sokas hera yuchul sadi tachshir, sheugram lahapolo loyasias pula yishara berechem. It can't do any damage, can't cause any ill impact on the lady. Can I deshtias rufa derech hape, or yazrak is rika lugofi isho kadaim. Oza yisoysef of neha moira ra mokum yuchad noisov at sadi zebezeheter. He says, first of all, if you can, instead of actually going in and taking the baby out, can you cause the baby to die on its own? Like take a drink, a pill. That's much better. Why is that any better? So he says, it's only grandma. If you go in, you yank the baby out, that's ritzicha. You punch the baby in the stomach, that's Ritzicha. That's the case of the Torah. But if you can, let's say, again, I don't know how they do it today, I'm not familiar, but if you could take a pill and that pill will just kill the baby inside, that's way better than having to do a regular type of abortion. And then he ends off with a very important idea, which is what we started at the first week. Oysef gam zois lahoyer. Shebe mikri shel heter ozayi matzerich v'achoy v'lekabel as haskoma so isha l'afsaka seron. You gotta get permission from the wife. Yesh min hatzerich v'achoy v'lekabel umzois gam haskoma sabal. You need to have consent from the husband. Because we spoke about this in the first time we spoke about this again. The Torah clearly looks at the fetus as property of the husband. So if it's the husband's property, he needs to have a say in this. And this is so overlooked in the political world, in the secular world, but not so in the halachic world. Now again, 9 out of 10 times I'd like to believe the husband and wife are on the same page, especially these types of shilohs, but does create a complication. For any reason, the woman would decide, or the husband would decide, I don't want this abortion. The wife would have absolutely no permission from a chayshim mishpat. Not from a yoredeya point, it would be a chayshim mishpat issue. You're damaging his property.
But it's, most of the time, it's sakana that's...
But if it wouldn't be any case of sakana, like many of the cases are not, again,
like
the first case that we started off with, the case of ancyphaly, that's not sakana to the mother. That's just that you don't want to have a baby like that. Or even, let's say, a Tay-Sex baby. That fetus still has a value from a financial standpoint, so that would still be a shayla of the mevlod, this labal. Right? The shayla, the father's moichlet. Let's say you have Yaakov Emden's case where the lady's mezana. The husband says, absolutely not, that's my property. So it could be she'll abort it and have to pay him. That might happen also. So again, that would be a choshen mishpat question that they'll have to fight it out in Bezdin.
Why is it his property?
It wouldn't be his. It would be the, I'm saying, if the boyle owns it.
The boyle?
Then the boyle says, I don't want you to abort it, it's my property. So then the boyle might have to go to court with her on a choshen mishpat. Okay, Hadron Cholom, we finished with the sugya of abortion. Now let's move on to what I really want to get to tonight, which we're really going to talk about. End of life issue, and this is really much the same way the Torah values the life of a fetus. The Torah values the life of a living person, even though he's on his way out of this world. And we're going to talk about euthanasia, what the Torah outlook is on those types of procedures. So we'll start off like this: how exactly does the Torah? We know how the Torah views fetal life. How does the Torah view end of life? Person is very sick with no cure. Nothing is going to save him. It's just a matter of time till they tick away and die. What is the halacha? What can we do for such a person? So obviously, in the world today, there are some countries that allow what's called euthanasia, which means you can, the word is a Greek word. I did my research. It's a Greek word that means good death. It's also called a mercy death, or we'll call it, the Pesukim call it misas chesed. That's how they refer to it. I'm helping someone end their life. Their life is very miserable. They're in a lot of pain, or they're very unhappy. So I basically help them kill themselves, or I give them medication, and I help them die earlier. Are we allowed to help a person who's very uncomfortable? Again, we're talking about a person who's not going to survive. They have an illness that is not curable. This is just a question of managing their pain. Can I help them end their life so this way they can just be out of pain? So the Gesher Chaim writes the following. Goises, number one, Goises areu kechayel chodom. A Goises is a person who is not going to get better. He's going to die. It's just a matter of when. An hour, 2 hours, a day, 2 days, he's going to die. There's no question. It's not like a person has a cure. There's a cure. It's uncurable. He's going to die. Ve'en koishu nechayev. There's no connection to death, to life. Ein tzakin gam, ein mazizin. I say, you can't cut him. You can't move him. Ve'en ma'atzim es enev. You can't close his eyes. V'chol ha'ma'amitz im mitzias nefesh. Ha'rezi kishev. Anything that you do that brings him to die a minute earlier, you're a murderer. Ah, he's going to die anyways. It doesn't matter. Chayesha. Every minute a person is on this world, it has value. And if you end a person's life a minute earlier than he's supposed to, a person is considered shefich tam. He says, "V'dina ki betzeich nevesh bari." It's as if you killed a regular, healthy person. Ve'yichilik ben hari goises ben meir shona. Doesn't make a difference if you killed a guy who's a goises, he's 100 years old. Ben hari adam bari yotzar liyomim. Everyone knows you never go to levaya of a person who's 97. So people are sad, but you know, they say, "Hey, lived a long life." You go to levaya, a young person, it's a whole different experience. But from the Torah standpoint, they're the same. Person who's 100, he's a person. Person who's 20 is a person. There's no permissibility to kill someone just because he's old. Oh, he's old already. He lived a lot, so let's kill him. No, that's not allowed. Then he writes over here that quotes the Maris Sanhedrin. I'll call moedim b'hoyu geisus. The person kills a geisus b'dei shemayim shul chayv misa. He's chayv misa b'dei shemayim because of Rambam. That's Rambam shita. Gam im eisun shum dover ha'goyim l'mar misasa. Nor can you do anything that will bring his death closer. Okay, what does that mean? It means you can't do a procedure or you can't do an activity that will cause them to die earlier. You can't do anything like that. You're not mechuyev to keep him alive. That's what we're going to have to get to at some point. So am I mechuyev to go out of my way to do something that's passive versus active? Obviously, I'm not allowed to put a pillow over his head to smother him, to have him die earlier, but am I also mechuyev to do a massive surgery to bring him to save him?
I never understood that distinction. I understood it on a concept.
We're going to talk about it, believe it or not, I think more next week.
So
it's based on a Ramah. So there's a very interesting Ramah in Yoredei, which Belinda will get to next week. He talks about a very funny case. He's got a person who's about to die, but for some reason, every single time he hears the banging of the wood chopper outside, that doesn't allow him to die. So the Ramah says, fine, tell the wood chopper to stop chopping, and he'll die. So that you're allowed to do. So the question is, where does that work? How does that work? So again, the Ramah himself writes, I'm not allowed to move the pillow. If a person's on his deathbed, and you want to move the pillow a bit, that's us. It's talking about Asa Gomer. That's Mikarv Misasa. Yet if I tell the wood chopper to stop making noise, that's allowed. So he has this line, that's considered a Mesiras Amineya. That's not the same thing. So we'll have to believe that we'll get into that heavily more next week. This week we're going to just talk a little bit about the Torah's outlook on euthanasia, and we'll see some practical shiles that could come up for those people in the medical field. So he writes over here, he writes in the bottom, the Mitzad Din Torah in Hevish Ben Chai Yishon Rabbis Ben Chai Yishon Achas Ktzara. There's no, we don't know how long anyone is supposed to live. We have no right to look at a person who's 100 years, hey, he's old already, he's going to die. No. Every minute of life is valuable, and we cannot do anything to shorten their life. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a Sefer on Chumash, Derish Moshe, says a beautiful idea. This is really the intro to the sugya that we're going to get into. This is on Parshas Masi. The pasuk says, Ki adam hu yachnif es ha'aretz. Because the blood does chanifa to the land. So Rav Moshe writes, Tzorech lohav in pirish halosh in yachnif. What does it mean yachnif? Chanifa? Shalachayr eine shaykh le pirish chanifa shabachamakim. This can't mean chanifa. What does chanifa mean? I butter you up. So what does it mean over there? The blood, does that to the land? So Rav Moshe says a gevaldik idea. He says, "V'anochel neizdaiti da'af b'chol amalchis makpidas hashvichas domim." Says Rav Moshe, we can agree that most countries are against killing. Almost all normal countries have a policy not allowed to kill. Mikomakim yishchil godol ben kpeidasam le'esher shvichas domim shebeteira. But there's a fundamental difference between their shvicha, their killing, and our killing. The kpeidas amalchis who mitzad yishav ha'olam. Why does a country not allow you to kill other people? Because you can't have a society if everyone's killing people. If the whole reason is logical and societal, if society dictates to go the other way, then you should kill. If for societal purposes it makes more sense to kill someone, then you should kill them. I did a great thing. I helped him. They don't care about chayisho. They don't care about old people. If you're asking any doctor, if he's presented with two patients, one is a young person and he has to do all he can do to save his life, and one is a 100-year-old. Let's be honest. Who's the doctor going to work harder for? We know. It's a metzius. But that's not how the Torah view life. That's how the secular world views life. Nebuchadnezzar, when the Nazis marched into all their countries, the first thing they killed were the old people. They had no purpose for them. They served no purpose for the regime, so they got rid of them. That's the way the goyim look at life. What purpose do you serve me? But the Torah looks at every person's life as valuable. This old person who's sitting in a nursing home serves no purpose to the world. He does nothing. And maybe he's even a drain on society because we got to pay for his Medicare and all these other things. Doesn't mean you can kill him. Says Rav Moshe, doesn't matter. That was another thing. The Nazis, right away, they killed all those people with mental illnesses. They served no purpose. They got rid of them. We can't go around killing people that are shaitim. That's machnif l'aretz, Dr. Moshe. That's plenty. You think you're doing a taiva. You think you're doing a benefit to society. You're killing in a way that benefits society. You're a tzaddik. Because I helped someone who, a mercy killing. So Dr. Moshe, absolutely no way is it permitted to perform such a thing. So again, in the world today, one could argue, I mean, the person's suffering. you're doing them a favor. You're ending their pain and anguish. Says Rav Moshe, that's not the way the Torah looks at things. And therefore, although they are probably suffering horrifically, there is no permission to help someone kill another Jew. We'll talk about a guy in a second, even if they're in terrible pain. So Nishmas Avram writes.
By the way, what does that mean? The last couple words. Or it's tough lot hodim.
Meaning the land is, society is not what counts. People is what counts. And he means the horrors means society. I mean, you're trying to be machnif society. So that doesn't work like that. We come first, then societal norms start afterwards. So the Nishmas Avram writes, the person is in terrible pain. So you're doing him a taiva. He says, "Ain lonu shus laharigoyse eligur lemisos kadesh layispo." Va'adiraba zehu liz chusoi. Okay, I wouldn't tell this to the patient, but says the Nishmas Avram, suffering is a good thing. Again, it's not necessarily going to help the patient, but it maybe helps the family. Very often the family says, "But how can I let him suffer? How can I let my loved one suffer? Let me just end it earlier." Says the Nishmas Avram, but they're making a mistake because the suffering in this world is positive. Why? So there's a famous Rambam in Hilchas Saito. Says the Rambam number 4. Saito sheyesh lo zchus talmud Torah. This itself is a shmuz. If let's say we all learn Pashas Nasa that she drinks the water, she implodes right sight unseen. It's not true. Says the Rambam, if she has zchus talmud Torah, if this woman, although she had questionable dealings with men, but she was very zchus Torah. She supported Torah. She allowed her husband to go learn Torah. Whatever the zchus Torah is, after she had a mitzvah talmud Torah, she has a mitzvah talmud Torah. I raise it toil Allah. That's enough to help her. She's not going to implode when she drinks the drink. She's going to have sickness and pain. So the Rambam, it's a schus not to die right away. Normally you think, oh, she should die right away, let her explode. Teretz is like, no. She has a schus. Because she has a shaykhis to Torah, she's now going to live 2 or 3 years with pain and suffering. That's the greatest schus she can have. Why? Because that will take away from the next world. So says the Nishmas Avram, this is a comforting idea. That when a person is deathly ill, and they're in extreme pain, and they say, why am I going to go through this? This is actually very relevant in the Holocaust. Many people in the Holocaust made this cheshbon. Why am I going to continue to live under the Nazis? I'll be quicker to take my life. Let me just kill myself. So again, not that we're here to judge anyone who went through that, but this is what the Nishmas Avram is trying to comfort us and say, no, the suffering is worth it. It's horrible. Yes, it's horrible. We don't wish it upon anyone, but it itself is a kapara for whatever is going on in this world. So writes the Rambam in Hilchas Sait. So the Reb Moshe Shtermuch was presented with a great shiloh. He says, like number 5, Nishalti be Johannesburg. Right? Johannesburg, they allow euthanasia. They allow you to kill patients. Doctors are allowed to administer medication to patients that are very uncomfortable, very much in pain, and that will kill them. So he was asked the following shayla. Apparently there was a frum yid in Johannesburg who was in charge of a goyish-only hospital. There were no Jews. We'll see why this is relevant for the story. There were absolutely no Jewish patients in this hospital. It was a completely non-Jewish hospital. He wasn't going to live long. He had some form of terminally ill disease, and he wanted just to end it now. He writes, and his relatives asked, do a chesed, mercy killing. Doctor signed off, family signed off, patient signed off, all good to go. One problem. Need to get permission from the head of the hospital, the menahel, the executive of the hospital needs to sign off on such a procedure. What was the problem? The executive was a frum guy. And he said to himself, I don't know if this is so pashut. He wasn't going to administer the medicine. He wasn't pushing the medicine. He probably, I don't even know if he was a doctor, but he was the head.
But isn't it also on the guy?
That's the problem. Yeah. So over here, this yid is basically directly causing this to happen. Because if the menahal of the hospital says no, it doesn't go anywhere.
No, but it's causing it for Goyim, not for you.
That's the question. We're going to see. But I'm just pointing out the point that his role is essential. Because this is more than just siyua. This is lifnei iver. Because without him signing off, it doesn't happen. Now, to say maybe he'll go to another hospital, that's debatable. But this is mamash lifnei iver. Because I'm helping another guy perform an iser. For a guy to kill him would be an iser. So he writes, even though for them it's mutter. Because in their society this is okay. They call this a misas chesed, a mercy killing. But it's not true. A guy is not allowed to kill another guy, even if it's a treifa. V'chayv akach misa k'mavod b'rambam. V'im also l'akav v'ad also Yisrael asis kain. And if a goy can't do it, then a yid can't do it, because we have the famous Gemara, that anything a goy can't do, a yid can't do. V'im kain also l'gam l'grim harigas akam, I can't help. V'oid haloi marshal ha-roifim, that's lifnei iver. Very, very difficult shiloh. So what should the psak be? So Rav Moshe Shternbuch was meikel. He told the head of the hospital, you can sign off to such a procedure. How? So he comes up with a chiddush. Chiddush number one is that he says that the issur for a guy to kill another guy is when it's out of anger. I don't like you. I want to kill you. But this is a chesed killing. So he says, since the guy is killing the other guy in a chesed background, he doesn't think that's also for a guy. It's a big chiddush. I don't know where he knows that. That's one cheshbon. Second cheshbon is he says that that it's mutter. He says also he's going to lose his parnasa. This might affect the doc, the head of the hospital. But he says, but there's only one condition. This is only mutter because it's all non-Jews. If this would be a Jewish patient, or even if there'd be Jews in the hospital, says Rav Moshe Shternbuch, I would never sign off to this. I'm only signing off because this is all goyim. It's a goy on goy crime. And guy on guy, I think it's perhaps mutter for a guy to kill another guy, al misas chesed. But for if there'd be even one Jew in this hospital, says Rav Moshe Shternbuch, I would prohibit such a, because for a Jew to do this to another Jew, that's completely awesome. We do not believe under any circumstance that you're allowed to help another Jew kill another Jew, even if he's in terrible, terrible, terrible pain. That's the Shiloh view. So what we need to get into, Blineder, next week, I guess, is we're going to talk about, can you daven for a sick person to die? Can you daven? I can't touch him, but I'll daven every day in Shemana Esrei, please take his life. He's suffering, I want him to die. Can I daven that he could die? Blineder will talk about that, and that will get us into the discussion of how to deal with end-of-life procedures as well, from a halachic standpoint.